I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Obviously, Nick Foles was acquired for a reason, and the Bears didn't place the fifth-year option for a reason. He has not performed to the level that he needs to perform and shown the growth. You know, he's now, this is his third year in Matt Nagy's offense, and I think Mitch is going to have a big jump. They had some stumbles last year, didn't run the football well. The tight end position, and I've said this, that it's a tight end-centric offense, was non-existent last year. But here's a player 2 years ago, played phenomenal. Mitch did play well. He played so well down the stretch, especially that game against Minnesota on the road, that thrust the Bears into the playoffs.
The D and Davis Show on 670 The Score.
D and Davis Show, last hour, sitting in for Les Grobstein. Dial us up 312-644-6767. Same number if you want to take a text us. We're taking you to 5 a.m. Sitting in for Mully and Hall. You're going to have Zach Zaidman time there and Ron Coomer. Listen, that was former Bear and broadcaster Jim Miller. I think the question leading into this is, with the shortening of the preseason down to just two games, I know most of us don't care for the preseason. A lot of times it's for the players at the back end of the roster for the most part. How does this affect particularly the quarterback situation? Initially, I was going to say, you know what, and I mentioned this earlier, I think we found out a lot about Mitch Trubisky if you really paid attention to what was coming out of Bourbonnais. Last season, because something wasn't clicking at the beginning and they tried to kind of cover it up. But if you really paid attention to what people were saying, it didn't mesh. Now, of course, that falls on Mitch. But of course, and I've been a fan of Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, it falls on him also, because he couldn't get out of his own way. Now, maybe it was, and we know that the playbook was shortened. And as Jim Miller just said, you know, they brought in Nick Foles for a reason. I do think that this can be a hindrance because, best case scenario.
A hindrance to who?
A hindrance to the team as far as figuring out the quarterback situation. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
I think it could be somewhat of a hindrance because initially I want to say, like, no, they get enough practice. They should be able to get enough reps. But also, and again, we have one of the better defenses in the league, but the defense knows everything you're doing compared to seeing it against different guys and guys going full go. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially as far as, like, one, the offensive line play, having a new offensive line head coach and trying to get some unity when it comes to the offensive line. I think that's going to hurt the quarterbacks too. But without having the usual four games, and of course we know the first one that they really don't play, and then the third game is the most important, but still it would have given you the Bears a lot more opportunity for live action to perhaps judge these quarterbacks. They still should be able to do it regardless, but I'm not going to say it's a positive for the QB situation in particular, not being able to throw both of them out there. And, like, who's getting most of the reps? So think about this. Let's say Mitch wins it, though, right? And how early does he win it so that he's getting the first quarterback reps, you know, the starter reps? You know what I'm saying? So what if they're tied for majority of the time? And, of course, it should be easier for Nick Foles, being a veteran, to be able to step in and do what he needs to do. But what if they're tied and it ended up being Mitch Trubisky, and now Mitch has a lock of reps because it took forever for him to finally be able to beat out Nick Foles? So, yeah, I want to say, man, you know, bump preseason. But, nah, I think it can be a hindrance to the situation to figure out who's going to be your starter moving forward.
No, I definitely agree with that, Ken. You never know what's going to happen with preseason. Somebody might go down, and that's when somebody usually steps up, and losing those two games is critical. Now, the only reason why you're losing the two games is because of what's happening in the country right now with the COVID, right? Those owners aren't going to give up that revenue because, you know, you go – I've been to a couple of preseason games. Let me tell you something, everybody, if you have never been to one. The beer and the food costs just the same amount, when you go to a regular season game. And the NFL typically has 5 preseason games because you had a Hall of Fame game, and that was cut as well, right?
Well, but those only those 2 teams have the 5 games.
Well, right. Right. But technically, in the season, it's kind of 5, but only those 2 teams. You're right about that, Ken. But no, I mean, not having enough reps, not being able to see exactly who the wide receivers gel with, not seeing who the offensive line gels with, not seeing who the offensive as a whole gels with. You have someone who, in my personal opinion, I think, I'm not going to say Trubisky lost the locker room last year, but I don't think they was that confident in him last year, right? Mm. So you have that. But then you have a guy coming in who's only been hot in one place but has a Super Bowl ring on his finger to show, like, hey, I've done this. And I took out Tom Brady. I ain't just taking out no anybody. I took out Tom Brady. So you're going to have that coming into the locker room. So now you're going to see, okay, now you have to see if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and the coaching staff overall. Now you have to see, okay, who does the team gel with in general? Do they feel that Mitch Trubisky is that dude, or do they feel like, hey, man, listen, we saw what Mitch did last year. We got to go ahead and get a new guy who won a championship a shot at this. So I'm even curious to see, does Nagy kind of play off of that? Because he seems to be a player-friendly coach. You know what I'm saying? He seems to be in the mux of it. When they had Club Dub, and he was right in the middle, you hear the big boom come out of him. The players galvanize around him. And I think that he feeds off the players as well. So we got to try to see, man, which way this goes. And losing those 2 games, you never thought, you know, if it would really mean that much. It means a lot. It definitely means a lot to a team who could easily be in the playoffs, or a team could be easily out of the playoffs. You know, they're not like a bona fide, like, oh, yeah, a bunch of scrubs, they ain't going to make it. Or they're not a bona fide team, like, oh, man, you know they're going to win the NFC North. They're right in the middle. They're an 8-8 team, in my opinion. The same way, and I believe we hosted last year on the score when I think it was the last weekend, the last game of the Bears, and they went 8-8. We kept saying, like, it felt like a 7-9 team, but they're going to go to 8-8, and they went 8-8. And that's still the same way I feel about them right now, because you don't know what's going on with the quarterback position, and you don't know how the head coach is going to solve these issues, man. It's a tough position to be in.
They were sitting in for Les Grobstein, Dallas Upper Texas, 312-644-6767, taking you to 5 a.m. Sitting in for Mullion Hall, you're going to have Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman, and Ron Coomer. Listen, that's compounded if you look at this in the macro from the fact that you have a new offensive coordinator in Bill Lazor, and then offensive line coach in Juan Castillo, and you're getting less times necessarily when it comes to getting that offense tuned up and ready to go. As in what you heard from Jim Miller, from the fact that we didn't have tight ends before, now you have an old Jimmy Graham, who should be decent, and then you have the rookie and Cole Kmet, and that's also, as you alluded to, the amount of reps that each guy, because there's going to be a lack of reps, because this isn't, hey, listen, Nick Foles, you're the backup. This is, listen, we need you to save us because there was a mistake made in the draft, and push comes to shove. We spent all this money on this defense. We need you to come in, and if this kid doesn't click, we need you to finish off and at least be a guy that can hold a spat. And as a caller said earlier in the show, as far as his hate of not having a quarterback, he would settle for someone who would just score 20 points. You know, you're not asking for either one of these guys necessarily to be world beaters. You're asking them basically, listen, you score 20, 21 points. The defense, you don't give up no more than 17 points, basically. That's what, especially if your head coach, and as I mentioned with Bill Lazor being offensive coordinator, especially if your head coach, one, runs the rock, but also we got to see more out of David Montgomery. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I know one thing about him. He doesn't quit. I will give him that much. He doesn't necessarily quit, but still we got to see more. And even with that, this is with him going with a new offensive line coach as far as, listen, how does he want him to hit the hole? So, yeah, I definitely think you need to sit there, and it hurts them, to say the least. I don't think it helps them. I want to say that it doesn't matter, but, yeah, it does matter. So let's go out to Mike in Jerusalem out in Israel. How are you doing, Mike?
How are you doing? Happy holiday, and thanks for taking over for Grabber on your holiday.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great, great job. You know, nobody's the grabber, but you guys are really close. Great job there. I wanted to talk about the Bears quarterback situation. I'm pretty upset. I happen to be a Mitch Trubisky believer. I believe under a proper coach he would be a great quarterback. But that's it. With that said, I do not understand why the Bears took Nick Foles instead of Cam Newton. They gave up a draft pick. They could have had Cam Newton. Now, you're going to tell me injuries. They only need a guy for a year or maybe 2 years. They have Trubisky on the bench. He's probably the best backup quarterback in football. Why did they not take Cam Newton instead of Nick Foles? Cam Newton is much better. An injured Cam Newton is better than Nick Foles, with all respect to Nick Foles. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I think it was fear. I think Ryan Pace, and again, you know, usually the McCaskies, they give you a lot of room out there. Outside of Emery and Tressman, you know, usually they give you a long leash to let you do succeed or fail for the most part. And it was a good thing that at least with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, they had that first season with the 12 wins. But I think, Mike, it was the familiarity when it comes to Nick Foles. I'm with you. I would have preferred Cam. I was all for it. But I think they're looking at us. We need someone. One, Cam, as you said, he was injured, and due to the COVID situation, you can't get your eyes on him. And, I mean, he had a foot, so it looked like he wasn't driving the ball, and people didn't know if it was his shoulder or if it was his foot last season before he had to basically sit out the rest of the year, and definitely the Panthers weren't necessarily taking care of him, using him too much as a running back for me. As I said to D years back, listen, you have a few design runs because on top of it, Cam is going to scramble anyway, but you don't run him like a fullback half of the time. I mean, I know you have to take advantage of his athleticism and physicality, but man, they pushed him to the end, and some of that's still on Cam. But I think it was fear because, one, Nick Foles was healthy. As you had said, though, then they had to give up that fourth-round pick. You know what I'm saying? And Cam, you could have just signed him, but also, how much would Cam have cost them? Because Cam was not going to settle for that deal that he has with Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick can promise him, chances are, I'm going to get you right. And if we don't give you the money, since they never really paid Tom Brady top-tier QB money, we can get you back on the market to where someone else can give you money. Because one thing that we always talk about is you trust in a team, an organization with your legacy. This is kind of things that kind of we talk about with the Bulls a lot as far as like free agency. And do people on the outside look at Gar Foreman and John Paxton as people as, if I'm a megastar and listen, I want titles, can I trust you to be able to get this team in a proper order? And Cam's basically doing that with Bill Belichick. You see from his tweet or his Instagram post tonight talking about it's not about the money, it's about the respect, because Cam's trying to prove something so he can get to the money. Because at 31, if Cam could sit there and have a successful season next year, one, I believe, and I know they're pushed up to the cap as far as New England, I believe they would pay him slightly more than they would pay Brady, slightly more, not a lot. But I see him definitely being in the 20s. I mean, unless he performs extraordinary, I don't know if he can get back to getting to a 30 mil range where a lot of quarterbacks are at now. But at 31, then being 32, it's beneficial for him to be in New England so either he can win or at least win enough to get back on the market so he can get paid.
Mike, I think it comes down to what Ken just said. Who do you trust more if you're a player? Bill Belichick or Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy? Who do you trust more? You're going to trust Bill Belichick, man. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time when it comes to running professional teams. He's not the GM, but basically he is.
He is the GM.
Yeah, yeah.
And not to mention Josh McDaniels, D.
Right, and Josh McDaniels too, right. So you have a proven commodity up there in Foxborough, man. These guys win championships. They didn't have the season they wanted last year, but they were still in the playoffs. What was Cam Newton? On the at home, you know what I'm saying, resting his foot, you know what I'm saying, trying to get back healthy. There was the mentions of maybe the Chicago Bears would have been a destination for Cam Newton, but listen, I don't think he's willing to take that kind of money to play with the Bears instead of going up to New England and have a possibility of getting back to the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl that, you know what I'm saying, he didn't perform that well up against the Denver Broncos, you know what I'm saying. I think everybody remembers that play that he didn't dive for the ball. Going back to that Super Bowl, he wants to get back and possibly, you know, redeem himself. And what other better team to do that with not the New England Patriots, man? That's, in my mind, it's just a no-brainer. If it was anybody else, maybe the Bears have a shot. Not against New England. 312-644-6767 is the number. Give us a call. Give us a text. We are the D and Davis Show. I'm DeMond Spurrell.
I'm Kenneth Davis.
Filling in for the grobber, Les Grobstein. Hey, man. Oh, you want to say something, Ken?
Yeah, listen.
Oh, yeah.
On the Cam thing. And listen, yeah. I killed him for not diving for that ball and making a calculated decision. I was not with it. But it's hard to do anything when his number switched from 1 to 58, and that's Von Miller's number. Yeah, I mean, they were on him. They were on him. All right.
Yeah, they were.
So again, like you just said, dude, I'm not banking on the Bears to successfully get me right. And look, again, I'm a Matt Nagy guy, and this would be the year we'll find out if I'm going to continue to be a Matt Nagy guy. I'm a huge proponent of Matt Nagy. I just hope he can figure out. Sometimes you don't have to be a genius. You can just stick to the script. One thing, and I'll say this, and it comes from the coaching tree that he comes from. And I was just talking about this the other day to Afton. We were sitting there and I was talking about when Andy Reid run out of the war, because we watched the ESPYs a few days ago, right? We watched the ESPYs. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy for Andy Reid, and I'm happy they played a lot of the footage when he was with the Eagles, because I feel like for people in our generation, we love Andy Reid, but sometimes he couldn't get out of his way. Like, Brian Westbrook was definitely a key asset, but he didn't want to do it the traditional way. He wanted to do a lot of old West Coast, as far as, you know, getting the running back out, giving him the ball. And sometimes it's just stick to it. And when Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl kind of wasn't right to the fourth quarter, Andy Reid stuck to the script, right? And that's what I need Matt Nagy to do now is we get it. No one looks at, outside of necessarily if you have Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers, no one looks at running the ball as being genius. You know, you want to throw the ball to prove your genius, basically. But, man, when you win games, you have to run that rock and you have to commit to it. And that's why, again, getting to the question that he had as far as why Cam isn't here, because right now our coach, as far as, listen, the hierarchy of the NFL, I don't know if I can be like, dude, listen, I'm gonna put my career in your hands, because one, he hasn't done it enough, and two, it's a lot on Mitch, but it falls on him too to even if he doesn't unlock Mitch, to get as much out of him as possible as far as maintaining a winning philosophy and winning football.
I think you just nailed it right there too, Cam. New England runs the rock. They run the ball. And we, as you said before, we don't know what Matt Nagy is going to do. So if I'm Cam Newton, the buzz was out there last year. Maybe the Bears would be a landing spot. But I see myself, I'm 31 years old, coming off an ankle injury. Yeah, I'm a big dude who likes to move around, but I need to think about my longevity if I want to get back to the point of where I was making those dollars of being in the mention of an MVP. But I have a coach in Matt Nagy that doesn't like to run the ball at all. So what am I going to do? I'm not about to be the running back again. I'm not 25-year-old Cam Newton. I'm 31-year-old Cam Newton. You can't do that to yourself. It just isn't logical and isn't smart at all. So, no, I mean, I think a lot of people on Twitter are like, man, Ryan Pace looked real dumb from not doing it. You got to look at the other side of it too, man. Like, listen, maybe Cam was like, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, maybe, you know what? How about this, everybody? Maybe Cam Newton go up there and he proves himself to be back in elite mode. Trubisky and Nick Foles are not the answer, but everybody can clearly see that this is the quarterback. Hey, maybe Cam Newton can come back, and maybe those rumors will come back floating next year for the Chicago Bears. Who knows? These are all one-year deals, basically. D and Davis Show, sitting for the grobber. Les Grobstein will come on back. You know, we want to talk a little bit more about how gambling could be affected by COVID, and what are you going to do about your fantasy sports teams, or fantasy football overall? D and Davis Show, 670 Score.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. The D and Davis Show.
D and Davis Show, sitting in for the grobber, Les Grobstein. Make sure you give us a call. 312-644-6767 is the number. That's the text line as well, too. 312-644-6767. I am DeMond Spurl.
I'm Kenneth Davis.
Hey, make sure you follow us on Twitter as well, at D and Davis Show. I'm on Twitter at DeMonz1, DeMonze1. Ken is on Twitter at That's Davis. And, hey, Mike, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at Rankin906.
Oh, that's pretty easy. Rankin906. All right, so as we left the last segment, we wanted to get into a little bit more football. But from the fantasy football and gambling aspect, and listen, man, if you want to know anything about your gamblings, you listen to George Skropsky right here on 670 Score, man. He's going to give you, he's going to put you right. He's going to get them pockets live for you real well. Maybe, I don't know. But shout out to Joe O, man. That's my dude.
We couldn't live without George Skropsky.
That's right, you couldn't. But you know what? When it comes to COVID, how was this affecting the gambling? Because now it's legal across the country. And fantasy football. But first, I want to go to fantasy football real quick. Because, Ken, I played fantasy football for a very long time. We played together. We have a show league. We have a website. WeAreRigorRadio.com as well. So definitely check that out. And everything going great over there. Kyle Means, the editorial director of over there. We had a fantasy football league there as well. But I kind of stepped out of fantasy. I'm kind of like, okay, I just want to kind of watch it. Well, man, Ken, he does fantasy football. He does it well.
I did. It hasn't been going. Last year was a stinker. I was like, oh, Lord.
Amy, but you're on it, though. But you, as being a more avid fantasy football player than I am right now, mm-hmm. you playing in some pretty, you know, saying not crazy amount of leagues, but, you know, saying you play a nice little pretty pity penny. How is that going to affect you all's fantasy this year? I mean, because if I'm going back into it, I'm kind of looking at it like, man, do I even want to do it at all? Because I don't know if, A, if my player that I drafted, they're going to turn around and catch COVID or have COVID or catch COVID. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even know if the season is going to finish. So what's up with my money? That's a lot of the questions that I would be asking.
And in ours, which we also have young Tony in, mm-hmm. Gil, I'm the commissioner of that one.
Yes, you are.
It was Tony. It was kind of me and Tony together. We kind of still, but he had to be moved out a little bit. I'm the commissioner of that one. And the crazy thing, just in having this discussion, I thought about the app that we use as far as making sure that everybody gets their money when mm-hmm. the league is over. And yeah. there's a deadline. And after that deadline, if someone doesn't pay, they have to pay a penalty fee, basically. Mm-hmm. I would think that app would have to change that somehow. Because of what you said, if they are going to shut the season down, in particular, we know that during flu season, this may be worse. Basically, the fall that with going on with COVID-19, this could be worse. I don't see how they can sit there and be like, listen, you have to pay your money right here and right there when we don't know what's going on. At least with that one, I'm not as concerned because it's easy for me to get the money back out. But I'm in a pick 'em. With a friend of ours, Josh put me on to years mm-hmm. years back with like some of his college friends and family or whatever. And I don't even know. And that's over $160 for the entire regular season. I don't even know how. And the dude, I'll say this. The guy that does it is phenomenal because it used to be you have to wait to the end of the year to get your money. Mm-hmm. And like the last year, at least maybe the last 2 years, he's been giving it every week. Right. So you think about the winnings. If you get like the year before last, I think we may have had over 30 people in it. It has dwindled down. I think it may have been in the high teens maybe this year. But mm-hmm. the more people, the more money that you have. So mm-hmm. that could easily be over. That's like $100 and something every week. You know what I'm saying? I finished close to the end. But like the last couple of years, like I've been winning like 2 weeks in a row and 3 weeks in a row. Like I've made my money back and also made some money, which for a long time, like my first win, I had to split with three people because we all tied up, which basically meant like I got like $40, right? And it was like, I'm down 120 basically. So that's what I'm kind of concerned with. And as you alluded to, and we talked about this again earlier from earlier in the Dan Bernstein show when he had Bill from Capitol Hill call and had the great point of saying, if you have any inside information as far as who's out, how it benefits you so much with everyone gambling now or every state taking some part of gambling. And like there's really nothing they can do really to regulate. I mean, if you're working in that facility, you have an advantage. And clearly you do anyway. But man, with this one, because you're out a week regardless. You know that early. You know what I'm saying? I can look at what the line is. Let's just say like real betting or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can look at what the line is. And look, everyone doesn't know, like here in Chicago, everyone doesn't know Khalil Mack. And unfortunately, I don't want to wish this on Khalil Mack. But everyone doesn't know that Khalil Mack may have caught COVID, right? And again, not putting that on him or whatever. But you know how that changes the defense, right? And let alone, what if a couple or more than just that? What if the linebacker room is compromised? You know what I'm saying? And it's I know that on Monday. You don't find that out till maybe Wednesday or Thursday, right? And I got it in when the line, when they didn't, I mean, you know, Vegas usually knows everything, but I got it in before Vegas even knew. You know what I'm saying? Or wherever. Here, you don't have to go to Vegas. You can bet here in Illinois. So that's really, it's gonna be interesting. In part of my mind, we do it for fun, but also I like to do it because it keeps you abreast of more players than just the players that are on your team. Necessarily, you really find out more of the league, and if particularly you don't play video games as much when we were younger, because that's how you knew everybody. If you played video games, you knew every player on every team, basically.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't game as much as I used to, but fantasy at least keeps me abreast of those players that I'm interested in or not interested in and how well they're performing. So, man, it's gonna be a hit. Mike, do you play fantasy, anything like that?
Yeah, you know what? I'm participating in an, I don't know, fantasy baseball league, which is a keeper dynasty.
Mike.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's the first time that I'm doing it, and of course, obviously, circumstances. But yeah, this is a very unique situation for me because it's, you know, a $75 league, so it's like, hey, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like if you go over $40, it's for real.
It's for real. pay me my money. Listen, you got to think about it kind of like in a lot of different ways. Across the country, as we just said, it's basically you can it's legalized sports betting is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And you're talking about millions, if not billions of dollars that's going through legal transactions now. Mm-hmm. So obviously you have HIPAA laws and you can't come out and say like, X player has COVID, and then you think, he's a defensive back. He's a wide receiver. That means wide receiver 2 and 3, they might have it as well. You know, it's just so many levels to it. And now you're dealing with just the regular Joe money. If that regular Joe was out there betting, now you're talking about casinos and sports betting, offshore betting. And I think FanDuel, they still around with DraftKings. I think they're now, obviously those really big. Yeah, oh yeah, that was kind of fun when we was doing it.
No, that was dangerous. I stay away from that one, because that's the Monday trying to get your money back. When it's like, nah, son, I'm good off that.
Yeah, they will try to get your money real quick. But no, you gotta think about it like that, man. It's kind of like now you have money, legal money flowing every which way through legalized betting. How is this going to be, you know what I'm saying, looked at? Just as, like I said, what happens if, like, a running back and get the whole entire running back room? It's like, why are 3 running backs on the injury reserve list out of nowhere? Oh, man, they probably have COVID. And it's kind of like, I don't want to bet on them. I don't want to put my money on them. Will it ever get to the point where it's kind of like, give me my money back? I didn't know they all had COVID. You know what I'm saying? I think you have to kind of think about things like that. Now, me personally, like I said, I don't gamble. So I'm not throwing my money into it. But I would think maybe some people that are just casual bettors are maybe going to hold their money back. Like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to bet this year. Or you have the office fantasy league pools. And you have, you know what I'm saying, 15 to 16 people. And you have a few people in there that's kind of like, okay, I never did it before. I tried again. It's $50. It's kind of like, wait a minute, hold on. I don't know what that COVID still out there, you know, that could possibly throw off my winnings. I'm going to hold my money, you know, say hold my money back. So I would think it's going to kind of dry up some of the revenue, potential revenue, that the NFL, the casinos, the betting states, basically, are going to make because people just don't know. The uncertainty of it can. It would bother me.
Dan Davis sitting in for Les Grobstein, taking you to 5 a.m. where you're going to have Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Ron Coomer sitting in for Mullion Hall. Dial us up 312-644-6767, the same number for the text line. You know, one thing that I'm sitting here I'm thinking about, and you think about the Rob Manfred said as far as what you just mentioned about the HIPAA stuff on Dan Patrick's show.
Yeah.
But, you know, baseball and even hockey, you know, hockey would be like it's a lower body injury. They don't want to let you really know.
Right.
It's an upper body injury.
It's an upper body. No, it's right. Called COVID.
And that's not sort of specific. Oh, that's like that. D, stop.
I'm just saying. We won't know.
But I wonder with how rigid the NFL is with the players that are injured, you know, the weekly injury list that has to come out or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to do something to let people know. Like, because that's – listen, when we first met, you used to hate the fact that the NFL was the big boy in town. And your whole thing was, it's only because of the gambling. It's only because of the gambling.
It is because of the gambling.
The gambling – listen, it's also just because – people have attention spans have changed.
Let alone there's
a lot more stuff to do rather than. And listen, when you're looking at baseball, you got to be dedicated when you're following your team. Let alone if you're following other teams, that's a lot of time and a lot of people. Mindsets have basically changed. You can look at how the demographic and the fan base with baseball has gotten older. But still, I feel like the NFL is probably going to do something so that you kind of find out. But this is another kicker.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are. Because they know gambling is – they love that gamble. They know it helps them out.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, and it's funny, though. Just in having this conversation, one of the things that just ran through my mind is this. In a situation where – and, Mike, you said it that an hour or so ago when we're talking about young people getting out, and you said that we're probably going to be sheltering in place again with looking how – 3 days ago, Illinois was green. Now Illinois is red. One thing that's good about fantasy, though, it connects people. Like, I'm just sitting here thinking, initially I was like, maybe I'll hold on my money. But the connection that it provides you, it gives you more incentive to reach out to your friends and even the people that, you know, you may not be as closest to. I actually feel like if it's going to happen, I may do more trades. You know, last couple years, we haven't been trading and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, you've been blocking my trades. That's why.
Oh, you've been cheating. you and your cousin. Your cousin said I was out of the playoffs anyway, so I gave him I was gonna trade him these players, and I'd be like, no, you can't do that, buddy. I'm happy you admitted, Kyle. I'm happy you owned it up, Kyle. Props to your honesty. But as the commissioner, I can't allow that trade to go through.
As cousins, I rebuke that statement.
But no, it gives us even more reason. Like, lucky enough, with us and our friendship, which is means a ton to me. Mm-hmm. We still get to connect twice a week through Zoom.
Yeah.
Right? We can sit here, and one thing about our show is our connection, of the laughter, the release. Listen, you know I've been going through it, speaking with my little brother's passing, and you and Ryan, Sydney, you know, to come on there and to be able to laugh with y'all, you know what I'm saying, has definitely lifted my spirits, to say the least. So maybe, you know, while we're sitting here poo-pooing fantasy, I hate to tell people, man, you get out there and gamble. But maybe it could be beneficial, because if we are social distancing, we know everyone isn't, it still gives you another way to interact with people and to have fun, and also a distraction. Why, man, like I said earlier, man, a lot of people are stressed out. Some people don't realize it. Of course, some people do. So I'm actually looking forward to this fantasy season. And me personally, I usually only do fantasy football. That's like, because I don't want to have to look at fantasy every day, basically.
Ooh, baseball, you know what I'm saying? Baseball and basketball.
Yeah, baseball and basketball. So I like to be able, like, by Wednesday or Thursday, to get my lineup straight. If I have to make any alterations, depending on if there's a Saturday night game or a Sunday game, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, then I may change something. But it's hugely beneficial to me that it's only one game per week, because I don't have to sit there and just over-focus too much on it. But yeah, actually, I'm kind of looking forward to this, because, I mean, lucky enough, we said before that we all have our 9-to-5s right now. A lot of people don't, and we wish it works out. I'm sorry that you're in that situation. It's not funny at all. It's sad, to say the least. But even for people in that situation, it gives you something, a distraction. So actually, I'm semi-amped, perhaps, if we get enough football to play some fantasy this upcoming NFL season.
You hear that, everybody? You hear that optimism coming from Ken? I'm gonna be real with you. You ain't gonna get that to me. You wouldn't see me. I'm not playing. No. Because I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't like the idea of something just stopping midway through it. I give you a real quick little story about my background. I went to a broadcasting school before I graduated from IMS, right? I don't even want to say the school's name. Halfway through the program, it shut down because they ran out of money. Now, I'm scarred. I'm sorry. I'm a scarred lover. I ain't doing it. I'm scoring. You ain't getting my money.
I'm gonna need your 45 bucks, bro. I'm telling you that right now. I'm gonna need your 45 bucks, bro. So I'm putting that to the side right now.
Hold on.
You're not spending any money for lunch or anything, D.
Ken and I are doing this through Zoom so we can see each other. And if you can see my face, and I'm giving Ken right now. I don't know about that one there, brother.
You give me D-Face?
I'm giving you a whole bunch of D-Face right now.
You're not spending any money on the CTA. I need your CTA money, bro. All right? You're not spending.
Look at this. Hold on, brother. This is going to go to the J14. You're going to give it when we give it to you.
You're not getting on the J14. You're working from home. I need your CTA money. Come on, man. Don't even be like that. You know what I'm saying?
Getting hemmed up with fantasy football money.
But anyway, definitely. One thing, too. We'll come back real quick. Definitely, it's open to talk about anything everybody want to say in this last segment. But we want to talk a little bit about grilling and if you have any traditions when it comes to the 4th. Definitely D and Mike and myself are going to let you know. Dan Davis sitting in for Les Grabstein on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I do believe that these protocols were very well conceived. They're very thorough and highly detailed, and they were designed by public health experts. Now, no protocols are foolproof. We're all at the mercy of the pandemic. But I think the best use of my time and mental energy at this point is to focus on how to execute these protocols, how to help the other members of the organization and our players and their families successfully execute these protocols to put ourselves as an organization and as an industry in the best possible position to stay healthy.
The D and Davis Show on 670 The Score.
D and Davis Show, last segment of the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Filling in for the Grobber, Les Grobstein. Make sure you give us a call, 312-644-6767. Give us a text line right there. Mike, man, you must know I was a huge Beatles fan. Little Michael right there, George. Oh, man, George. Oh, that was something I haven't heard that in a very, very long time, so I appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, man, I'm a huge Beatles fan. Listen, we've touched on quite a few things tonight. Obviously, COVID-19 and how it has truly reshaped the sports industry, how we're watching sports, how we're participating in it as fans, how we are participating if we're going along with fantasy football or gambling in any kind of way. That's a lot right there. And also, too, for the simple fact of what's our expectations when it comes to these different leagues? Are these leagues going to happen? Are we going to see an MLB season? Are we going to see an NHL season, NBA, NFL? Will this take out our high hopes for our Chicago White Sox, Ken and I? You know, Ken doesn't want the White Sox to go out there and jeopardize any of their young future for this possibly asset-laden season. But we don't know what's going to happen. So this season, this year has been crazy. These seasons possibly are going to be crazy. Hopefully we finish them. But you know what? That's what we had a great time here talking to everybody about this tonight, Ken.
You know what? It's funny. And I'm sure I have the answer to this, but I'm just going to put this out there for you and Mike. Mm-hmm. When you look at baseball, you're only going to, when it comes to as far as the National League and the American League, you're only going to play teams within your region, right?
Yep. Yep.
But there's not going to be a bubble. There's not going to be fans. There's going to be some social distancing. I believe they're going to even have players probably sitting in the front row so they're not on top of each other in the dugout. Mm. But the NBA having a bubble, is it better to have a bubble, let alone in a state that is an epicenter right now? It's Florida and them down there in Orlando and the wide world of sports and Disney World. Is it better to have most of your players in a bubble and you have control of that bubble? Or is it better to have your players coming and going from home? And the point that I'm getting to is, I think all of these leagues are going to have to stop at one point. I mean, we saw what Adam Silver did. Adam Silver changed the country. Adam Silver, and also shout out to Adam Silver for regaining the best commissioner, even though, Rob Manfred is trying to is basically telling people when it comes to Gary Bettman, hold my beer right now. All right, like that's what he's saying. Like, oh, you think Gary Bettman isn't that good? Hold my beer. Right? I'm gonna show you bad. Right?
Wait a minute, 80 games? We were only gonna play 60 games, baby. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Never. Yeah. So, getting to what Theo Epstein said right there, man, listen, they're gonna try their best, but we can just look at, and as you say, sports being a microcosm of society, What's mm-hmm. happening in society is going to happen in sports, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you, if we, like, you already, listen, they telling us, Adam Silver's telling us basically, like, yeah, man, it's probably going to go down. And we heard in the Brian Scalia and Brini interview with Mullion Hall from yesterday that Scalia's basically like, what's the limit? If you get to 50 players, is it like, you know what, we have to shut down? When does players' health, let alone, and also personnel's health, and also those people working down there,
yeah, just them too.
In Disney World, when does that take precedent over getting to the cash? So that's going to be the weird thing right now. Because, I think all of them, we just had a debate, because you didn't think sports was going to come back. I did think sports was going to come. I believe sports was going to return. But I do believe they will all pause for a minute if, and that's if they can even finish the season after that pause. I just see it coming, man. It's just like we see how hot it is here in Chicago. Like, what's going to happen if we have to shelter in place, but we're still sending the Cubs and the Sox out there to play? That's not funny. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but sometimes
it's
dark humor is...
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. It's crazy to think that basically telling everybody, you all stay home, but you baseball players out there, go out there and play. Give me two. You know what I'm saying? You know, no, man.
Yeah,
I think it's going to come down to what the players say, man. Listen, we've seen this in college when in the times we're at right now with racial justice going around right now, and you see like Confederate monuments and the Mississippi changing their flags. And it comes down to, you know what I'm saying, at least down there in Mississippi, a football player is like, listen, I'm not playing. I think now more than ever, throughout all sports and all backgrounds, whoever these players are, white, black, Latino, it doesn't matter, right? I think they're finally understanding the power that they have. Mm. And I'm so happy to see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you ask, okay, so what's the limit? I think it's going to come down to what the players come in, open up the door of the commission, like, hey, shut this down.
Mm.
We ain't going back out there, player. I'm sorry. We not going to do it. You have to be able to put your life in your own hands. Don't let nobody send you out there playing around in the COVID, and you don't have to.
What about the force majeure, D? Like, if in MLB especially, listen, owners is looking to get some of that stuff they're giving the players' union back. So, again, I'm with you. Me personally, I would prefer you take care of yourself. But people may sit there and look at Snell in Tampa Bay and say, you know what? Even though Snell's like, listen, that's not enough money. There may be people looking at it like, man, that's the only money I can get my hands on. But listen, Eddie, real quick, before we get out of here, and this is for you too, Mike. D, you're going on the 4th to your family's house, right?
Yeah, going to my parents' house, yeah.
It's all D.
They invited us, and we're gonna be in the back, and we're gonna enjoy our company. Social distance, yes, we are. Okay. We're gonna be around, yeah. Spread out.
I haven't popped any fireworks in years. Really, my daughter Kelsey's kind of the reason. Because one time, and it was funny at our old place, Ron and Christina was over, and after they went in the house, and I had a thing load of fireworks, and it was serious. It was serious. And I had one of those big rockets with the wax wick on it, right?
Ooh, yeah, that's a big
thing. Yeah, and so the thing was, I tried it a different way. Usually, I held I had the wick in front of it. So the wick, would maybe drip on it, but I put the wick under it, and it ended up, because the wick was so hot, burning through the stem, right? And that's a thick stem. So this big rocket, we're in an alley, it shoots off, and Katrina screams, it's still lit! And it shoots off the ground and hits a garage and the corner roof of a garage. It spins and it pauses because this thing has no direction. The stick was burning through. It spins and pauses. It shoots back down through the alley. Listen, it scraped the whole alley. Ron takes off running. Me, Christina, and Kenton run into the garage. And I look back, and it's one of those ones before it blows up. It has, like, those big sparkles on it.
Yeah.
I see my son. He may have been 6 or 7.
Oh, my
He's goodness. Running. It looks like Bruce Willis from Die Hard.
Die Hard?
He's running through the sparkles, but he's hitting it. And I looked. I said, right at that point, I knew he was going to be good, right? And it's funny because, look.
You may have some there, son.
You may, yeah. But Kelsey has even better balance. And she can catch. Like, I make her back up to catch. I'm like, come on, back up. Catch this.
Right.
Catch this ball, right? Pause. But sitting there still, I don't do it. So are you guys going to pop fireworks? And Mike, what are you going to do for the 4th of July real quick?
I know we're not.
Yeah, sorry, D. I'll be working.
No, you good. Okay.
T- Sunday, though, I'll be able to celebrate. We'll probably just cook out. You know, fireworks, buying fireworks, they're expensive. So I might just hold off on that one.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The streets must be flooded with money and cash, because I've been hearing fireworks since April. My goodness. I know Indiana has buy one, get one free, but God,
that's the thing. You got to remember that. When you go to Indiana sometimes, they don't think you see those internet deals. You got to tell them, like, no. On the internet, this is this. But you're right. You're going to spend really $150, and that's still going low. As far as grilling, because usually I do enjoy grilling. Yeah. It's going to be 90-something degrees. I'm not standing outside. I got this nice gas grill that I haven't perfected. I went back to charcoal. I prefer charcoal anyway. It's like, I know what I'm doing with this charcoal. With the wind, everything else, I got it. But it's just as far as you just said, Mike, as far as you guys are probably going to grill, what y'all throwing out there on the grill? And who's doing the grilling? Are you actually taking the tongs, or are you just sitting back and eating?
No, yeah, I'll be doing a little bit of the grilling. I just, like, recently learned a little bit, like, how to do it better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What we'll probably do is throw some breaded chicken on there, maybe some brats. We won't go too crazy, but the go-to typically on the grill for me is some breaded chicken, so we'll stick with that. Maybe a little tomato salad, too.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you all still eat the meat. I don't. I only eat fish. I'm a pescatarian, so... But I have learned how to grill, like, a nice whole catfish or nice whole salmon. Throw a marinade, throw it on there, and, you know, send a bunch of different kind of vegetables, or even, don't sleep on it, grilling a little fruit, too. So that tastes good, too. So I'm going to stick to the fish. I'm going to stick to the fish, partner.
You eating all those, that bottom feeder, talking about your Presbyterian with your nose up against us. All right. I ate that catfish. That catfish is no good, buddy. Listen, definitely you got coming up. You're going to have Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Ron Coomer. To my brother Aaron, I love you. Listen, Mike Rankin, terrific job. We appreciate it. Everybody be safe this weekend. If you're hearing us, let the streets be calm, man. And also, if you mess around fireworks, please don't hurt yourself, man. That's the best thing. And don't do anything crazy till you hear from us again.
As we always say, keep your hands to yourself. Chicago, we love you. Listen to 670 The Score.
All right. Well, see you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.